Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight!
Well, there goes the Daverhood! Welcome everybody, everywhere, to the 254th episode of Dave's Gone By, the very, very first of this brand new year, 2008. It's Sunday, January 6th. I'm here in the neighborhood, and I'm joined by my good friend and guest co-host, Jeff Goodman. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Oops, I can't even... What mic is that?
Red.
Oh, you switched the microphone cover.
I told you it's a sanitary thing.
It's a sanitary thing. Okay, yeah, you're the most sanitary guy in the universe.
Shut up.
Okay.
I'm not happy with you today.
Why are you unhappy with me today?
Yeah, because you canceled my show.
I should say the reason people heard for the past half hour instead of the little big time, I played basically an entire CD there of Barb Junger, who is this cabaret artist who put out an entire CD.
They already had to live with half an hour of it. Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying. It was Barb Junger doing an entire CD of Bob Dylan songs called Every Grain of Sand.
Fantastic.
Well, how was it? Did you listen or were you
I could care less.
YouTubing? Oh, well, thanks so much. So Jeff is sad because I did that instead of doing the little big time because
not
I was
sad.
Busy.
Sad with an M in front of it.
Mad. Jeff was mad. Jeff was ticked. Because the one time he comes in early, he's usually like 10 minutes late. Today he comes in like half an hour early. And go figure, I'm in the middle of like a pretty major phone interview. That
a half hour phone interview that went an hour.
I know. But it was good. you folks will all be hearing it.
Well, I'm boycotting that show.
Well, it'll probably spill out over two episodes now that we've done it. And let me explain to the listeners what that was all about. About a month ago, a guest on this program was supposed to be a woman named Issa, formerly known as Jane Sibbery. She's a Canadian singer-songwriter who has made some pretty major and interesting and fabulous music over the years. Her best-known song is Calling All Angels, which she sang with Katie Lang, and she's famous for the hockey song. Pretty great stuff. And anyway, she was supposed to be on the show a month ago.
Meanwhile, I never heard of her.
She was, well, Jeff, what you listen to is like Thai music and like disco from the 1980s. This is what you listen to.
And Broadway cast albums.
Okay, yes, that's fair. You do listen to Broadway cast albums, and that's cool, and that's fine. But, you know, when I try and play some Tom Waits for you or something even remotely, yeah. So this is where we're both coming from.
And I'm sure the East is just as good.
Well, Tom Waits is in a league of his own. Tom Waits is Tom Waits. But East is pretty amazing.
East is not even as good as Tom Waits.
Nobody's as good as except for Bob Dylan and Paul McCartney 30 years ago. Really, nobody. So, what was I saying? Well,
nothing.
Finally got Issa back, and she couldn't do it a couple of weeks ago because she was in concert, finishing up a concert when we were supposed to go live on the air. But this time, we got her. I talked. It's a really freewheeling, kind of odd conversation, but I had a great time. And it's about an hour long, so I'm going to chop it up, throw in some of her songs with it, and we'll be hearing that in a week or two. And I think it'll be pretty neat. So, yes, we are going to have Issa in the neighborhood, but not tonight. Tonight, totally does something.
Ooh, how exciting, huh?
Tonight, we've got Jeff, who's being in a pissy mood because he lost his half hour of airtime. What were you going to talk about in the half hour? I'll give you 2 minutes.
I don't know. It's always freewheeling and fun.
Well, yeah, it usually is. So what? Think about it. What happened this week that you were talking about? You were sick all week, so was I. You can hear it in my voice. I've been sick since the WGBB New Year special.
Like we care.
Oh, poor Jeff. Poor Jeff was, he feel bad. We neglect him. You know, poor boy. I'll, during commercial, you know, I'll give you a hot toddy and a rub down. You'll feel
no,
a little better.
Won't.
No, I won't. But anyway, Jeff was kind enough to call in during the last Monday night. I was here doing the second annual WGBB
New
Year's
special.
I
also called in earlier today.
That you did.
We had a wonderful character act going.
Yeah, that was neat, when we were on from 6 to 8. So it's not like you didn't have any air time today, Jeff.
Well, I might as well just stay at home. I didn't have to come in here.
Well, you're here for this hour. Although we do have another guest. We have a guest on this particular hour. And we have the news gone by tonight, which we haven't done in a few weeks. That's where we look at news and events of the past week from a very sort of odd and bizarre perspective. And news is the word of the day here at Dave's Gone By Tonight, because it's about good news. This is the first show of the new year. So I thought, let's do something positive. Let's do something happy. And let's, before we turn really horrible and miserable the other 52 weeks. What was that, Jeff?
Who died?
Well, actually, nobody big died this week. So that's another reason that we're going to stick with good news.
I'll find someone who died this week.
Find someone who died this week. Meanwhile, let me tell the folks that there's a woman. Her name is Jerry Weiss Corbley. Forgive me for not getting that right off. Jerry Weiss Corbley. And she founded a website a few years ago that dealt only in positive good news. Now, usually this is something I would totally shy away from or feel kind of skeevy about, especially since when you hear the phrase, like, good news, there's generally like a guy on a cross attached to it. But there's nothing religious-oriented about this. This is simply about about her being tired of just being bombarded with bad news about the war, bad news about the ecology and the economy, and bad news about everything, with a little good news here and there. And then all these terrible celebrity sightings and Britney Spears being carried out on a gurney. And she was like, you know what? There should be a clearinghouse, just a place where people can go see stories that are fun and positive and maybe miracles happen or just really nice things. And it's not the only news people need to hear. But if they want to hear something good and nice, this is the place to go. So she founded goodnewsnetwork.org. And I wanted to ask her about it and see how she chooses her stories and the kinds of cool stories that she's done the past year. Again, a kind of a nice New Year's-y thing. And then if that's a little too sugary for people who listen to this show and expect something else, well, we'll also do the typical news gone by where not all the stories are quite so pleasant. So that's what we're doing on this episode of Dave's Gone By, which is brought to you by... Jeff, do you want to do our sponsors, or are you too mad?
I'm too mad.
All right, I'll do the sponsors.
Kinkry Debbie died.
Who's that?
Kinkry Debbie is dead at 82.
Who's Kinkry Debbie?
She fought illegal mining in India.
Oh, good for her. Did she make any inroads at all? Did she die in a cave?
She was an illiterate and impoverished woman who waged a long fight against illegal mining and quarrying in the mountainous northern Indian state of Himachal Pradesh.
Okay. Wait, could you say that again?
No.
Okay. Well, goodbye to Kinky Debbie. I've known a few Kinky Debbies in my time. They were fun. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have... Oh, the sponsors. See,
Bert Bolin, by the way, died also.
Who did?
Bert Bolin.
Who's Bert Bolin?
He led the UN climate panel.
Oh, God. Quite a week. Everybody dies in December. Nobody dies in early January. People are waiting. I think they're waiting for Lincoln's birthday to really keel over. But let me do
that's
the sponsors.
That's just for today. Okay, do the sponsors. I'll look for someone better.
Fine. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway, located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. 10% off all jobs, big or small, for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman. Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229, 516-797-3229 for Fancy Schmancy Balloons, which Jeff is his own company, and he's too mad to do his own ad for that. But if you have a party and you want decorations, you want balloons for it, you want the centerpieces, he's the guy to call at Fancy Schmancy Balloons. And MortgagesRock.com, they do rock. It's the place to find mortgages and financing, not only for your own projects and going back to school or getting a second house or your home, but you can learn to be a mortgage broker and get commission just by learning from the website MortgagesRock.com. And finally, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for 65 years. Find out more about it at PerformingArtsInsider.com. shalomdammit.com. And I also want to tell you that Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's weekly television program, is on Cablevision every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Channel 20 for Woodbury Cablevision viewers. I will say that the same episode's been running over and over a couple of times because they haven't been able to get down there and change out the tapes. But there'll be new episodes, and you can see them, by the way, on YouTube.com. The first 9 episodes of Shalom Dammit are available anytime for free to watch on YouTube, so do surf over there. Well, let's get started with...
By the way, Kyra Shutt Hawkins Hickox died.
Kyra Shutt Hawkins Hickox died? That's a great name.
Kyra Shutt Hawkins Hickox.
And how did she...
She was 106.
My goodness.
She died peacefully at home in Muttontown, Long Island on January 2nd.
Oh.
She was born and raised in St. Petersburg, Russia. After escaping from the Russian Crimea in 1919,
mm-hmm.
she attended and later taught at the Brilliant Mont School in Lucerne, Switzerland.
Lucerne, yeah. Okay.
Lucerne?
Yeah.
That's how they spell it, Lucerne.
Oh, wait, oh, no, I may be... All right.
It's L-A-U-S-A-N.
Oh, sorry, Lausanne. Sorry, yeah.
She was first married to Ashton Hawkins, widowed, later married to Charles V. Hickox.
Okay.
She has 3 children, one in Northport, one in Dover, Massachusetts.
This is the best death you can come up with?
No.
She had a good name. I have to say, that's a... Well, say the name one more time, and then we have to go commercial.
Kyra Shutt Hawkins Hickox.
Well, Kyra Shutt Hawkins Hickox, we'll be back right after this message. $15 an issue sounds like a lot to spend for a theater magazine, but what if every issue of that magazine were jam-packed with information, like what shows are bound for Broadway, what big stars are in town, and what shows on and off Broadway are worth seeing? What if there was a whole calendar of dance, opera, and cabaret? And what if every issue had more theater information than the New York Times, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter put together? $15 sounds more reasonable, right? But guess what? A full year of Performing Arts Insider costs less than $14 an issue, and Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off the subscription price, meaning you would pay just $12 an issue for all the listings, rumors, reviews, and more in Performing Arts Insider. TotalTheater.com has all the details, or call 516-295-1511 and ask about the theater magazine the professionals use and theatergoers love. Performing Arts Insider. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this new year show. Well, it's already post-New Year, isn't it? But one of the things I wanted to do in this first week of the new year on the Dave's Gone By show is to get it off on a positive foot, because there's going to be, Lord knows, enough time for negativity and misery in the 51 weeks that lie before us. So, but it's a new year, so let's be happy about it. And I found someone who takes things from a happy, positive stance, which is something I don't often do. And she does it in a way that is proactive, in a sense. Now, we're all bombarded by news and negative stuff and the bad news and the stock market and the ecology and the economy and Iraq and all that. And it's all, hopefully, it's mostly true and necessary. But it is much of a muchness. And when you compound that with all the stuff about what the celebrities are doing and what they look like without makeup and what they look like when they've had 25 beers, it really compounds a situation that may not be quite as negative as we're perceiving it. So a woman named Jerry Weese Corbly decided to do something about it, something positive, and yet something that isn't, you know, sugary sweet and kind of ooky. It's actually just a darned nice idea. And Jerry is with us in the neighborhood to tell us what that idea is. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing? Happy New Year.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So what was your idea?
Well, I used to work in Washington, D.C. in the news business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I asked myself one day, why isn't there any good news shows? I was in TV news. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a niche for good news. And my colleagues firmly told me that good news doesn't sell. And so I didn't bring it up again. But I really didn't buy it, because at the time, Oprah was getting big with her Angel Network, and there were other examples. Reader's Digest was number one, and they have hero stories, and Parade magazine has always got the inspiring. I said, why not? But I did leave news, the news business, after about 10 years, and I went home to raise kids, and that's when the World Wide Web hit, and I thought, here's my chance. I'm going to create the Good News Network. And so I did.
Now, one thing I have to say is about 10, maybe 15 years ago, actually more, I was, you know, trolling through the TV Guide, which we used to get back in the times when there weren't 3,000 channels, just say 30, and I would see once a week on some channel a show called Good News, and I was like, whoa! It struck me back then. What a nice idea. And it was something like 15 minutes long, and I'm like, they would just spend 15 minutes telling good news about things that were going on. And I only learned after trying to tune in that their idea of good news was the fact that Jesus had risen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's got to be sort of confusing to you, because
yes,
if people Google or try and find even your thing,
Well, that's the nice thing is, yeah, if you do Google, and a lot of people, they get just downright depressed someday. You know, one day they'll come around and they've had enough of news, and they just Google good news. And I'm really, you know, thrilled and fortunate that I am number one. You get 170 million search results, and a lot of Christian sites come up right near the top.
Yeah.
But I'm number one because I've been around so long and so many websites link to me. Because it's such a great idea and it's such a great site.
And because your good news is not tied in any way, shape, or form to any religious belief.
No, I was literally, I was around when the cable news network started, and it was just named after, you know, sort of after that, GNN instead of CNN, the Good News Network, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I didn't get that. GNN, of course. Good news. I didn't even get that.
Well, for lack of a better, I tried to come up with another name. But I'm glad I stuck with that, even though there is a Christian connotation, because so many people write to me and say, I thought of doing a Good News Network. They all call it that.
Well,
so
let me ask
you, natural.
Where do you get the news from?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the two biggest broadcasters or news services that have a lot of good news are Associated Press. They have stringers all over the country, and they're finding the rescues, the heroes, the reunions, all this kind of really good stuff. And Christian Science Monitor has always got good news stories of things happening around the world. But I tell you, I've become a magnet for it after even doing it a couple of years. I see so much. My files are full of stories I haven't even put up. I generally just put up the most compelling stuff because I just don't have enough hands to put all the good news that you actually have out there.
Well, here's a question then. I'm going to put this in a way that sounds nasty, but it's actually a literal question. What gives you the right to post these stories? In the sense of how are you able to post the AP stories, or do you pay a fee? Or
I would like to eventually pay a licensing fee for AP, but no, I just link to their stories on other sites. Usually the MSNBC site, they carry a lot of the AP stories. There's also now some services that where they embed the ad in the story, and then they give it to you for free, and you put it on your site. And so a lot of my stories, you see the story written there, you can read it. It's like a flash code. And I mean, you can read the story, and then there's an ad next to it, and that's a new system that's working quite well for me.
So you don't mind having the ads, because the stories are coming in free, and if people click, they click.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any content that you pay for, or it's all just coming to you, and your basic job is to sort through it, but it's all free?
I used to, you know, there used to be a service, it's out of Vermont, called the American News Service, and I did pay for that. And they would put out weekly stories of positive, solution-oriented stories, and they had investigative journalists that would put these long stories together. And they're still in the archives of my site because they went out of business.
Oh.
And so I know a lot of people say that good news doesn't sell, but I just think it hasn't been done in the right way yet.
Hmm.
So, the question of paying. Well, we get a lot, we write a lot of our own stories, too.
Wait, who's we, first of all?
Well, actually, I write most of them, but I do feature columns from other authors.
Oh.
positive psychology is a movement in this country that's growing, and a lot of the people, the practitioners, they write articles, and I feature them, such as 7 steps to be happier that you can take right now or in the next hour, or something like that.
Also, they're not so much news stories. Those are already human interest kind of feature things.
I put them in the inspired section. I have an opinions section, and so I put those types of stories in there. There are a lot of how to be happy and how to be grateful and those kind of, and they're very popular on my site.
Okay. Liz, I'll bet you there was one story, news story this week that I'll bet you makes your website. Did you hear about the window washer?
Oh, yeah, it's on there.
I figure. Yeah. I mean, now, is that a good news story? Because, you know, his brother died.
Well, no, I think it is. And I would put that under inspired. I think those kinds of stories, they inspire us to believe that, you know, and to not be afraid of accidents, really, literally. I mean, kids fall from, you know, third-story windows or, I mean, people are falling out of planes and live, you know. So, I mean, in other words, it inspires you to believe that you can actually live through any accident. It's kind of, you know, I do. I think it's inspiring.
Okay. I mean, he may walk again. I guess it also depends how you would treat that story. You could also treat the story as, my gosh, this guy with family and whatever, a life, and he's doing his job, and he falls out a window and may never walk again. And then you sort of see the positive side at the very end. Doctors say he may walk again.
Well, you know, he was up and he was chatting, and
he was grabbing at the nurses.
Yep, and I think that you know, a lot of people can get in a car accident outside their door. I mean, they don't have to be, you know, a window washer to have something horrible, big accident happen to them. But I do like the stories that, especially, and I do feature stories about people with huge disabilities, brain tumor, or, you know, they lost all their limbs, and yet they're out there being really inspirational. They've become a motivational speaker in one case.
Well, see, if I lost all my limbs, I'd be stumped, you know, but I don't know what that means. We're talking with Jerry Weiss.
He's very funny, too, the guy that lost all his limbs. He's just hysterical.
Is he really?
Constantly, yeah.
Okay.
makes jokes of his own, you know, self, and he kids the audience. He shows them how he can answer the phone.
How?
He flips it. He has one little flipper. That's all he has, and he flips up the phone and he grabs it with his shoulder.
Wow! And I thought he'd just have to get by on charm. Whoa, that's so cool.
He has a lot of it, tell you.
Oh my gosh! You know, that's neat, actually.
Yeah.
There's a video
on the site. You can, you know, Google it.
Is there really a video of this guy?
Gosh, there's a video of him on my website.
Wow.
His name is Nick. Go to my site and search under Nick, N-I-C-K, and he's an Australian.
Nick the Australian. Yeah. Is it quadriplegic? Is that the word that they use? Because he doesn't have limbs. Quadriplegic
means
the limbs aren't working.
Wheelchair bound.
Yeah.
It's called No Arms, No Legs, No Worries.
Gosh.
Australian Nick Vujicic was born without but today is a motivational speaker. Yeah, so just search for Nick on my site. It's the first one that comes up.
Wow.
No worries.
Well, yeah, on a story like that, okay, I guess it can take a very positive attitude about it. Now, Jerry Weiss Corbly, we're talking with her about her site, goodnewsnetwork.org, where she compiles solely good or positive or inspirational news. And you started, how long ago? Was it 99?
97. My 10th anniversary was in August.
But you took a break.
Yes, I did.
What happened?
I got into politics. I just was smitten by the Dean for America campaign, and like so many others, left their lives and their families to go to Iowa and Wisconsin and other places and campaign for him. But so there was a point where I couldn't do both at once, and so I said, I'm going to take a sabbatical, and it turned out really good for my readers, although some were really moaning, you know, saying, this is not good news.
This is bad news.
but it turns out that I learned all kinds of, all about technology, about blogging and how to do a meetup, use the meetup website. Social networking sites, just all kinds of things in the Dean campaign that I then took after Terry lost. And I worked, once Dean dropped out, I worked to register Democrats.
Oh, so you just see, I would have been completely upset and then the hell with politics after the whole Dean thing. I mean, the
well,
fact
after,
that he...
I wasn't, and because I thought for sure we were going to win. I, even up until election night, I was convinced that Kerry would win.
Oh.
So I really was crushed. I mean, I was grieving, but within, I guess, 2 months, I went to a positive world change conference and was inspired to recreate a website. So this... this fancy site that has the, you know, content management software is what I learned about, where you could put daily stories up, and it's real easy. So I paid someone, I got a few $1,000 together and paid someone to do my redo my site so I could really get to work on it. And so it ended up being good news for my readers.
I am kind of curious, I'm, again, going towards the nuts and bolts thing, because I have a couple of websites of my own and struggling to keep updating them and have them... have people work on the back end and to pay them. Where's your money coming from? In other words, you took a year and a half to go campaign for Dean. Where? How'd you eat?
Well, I'm married and my husband works in television.
Uh-huh.
He's got a good job. And,
okay.
And so he has really been supporting. He calls it my vocation, you know, my hobby. And I made a serious commitment like about a year ago to start thinking about the business aspect. I said, that's it. I've been doing my community service for 10 years. Now I need to turn it into a business. And I said that I want to be the first one that actually proves that good news sells. So that's my new mission.
And how is that going? I mean, you obviously don't have to give dollars and cents, but are you getting sponsors and paid advertisers and that kind of thing?
Well, it's a slow process. But I am working on some various ways. I just manufactured some T-shirts and bumper stickers in December. So that's the back end, as they call it.
Right.
And I started doing teleseminars in September, and I call it the. You can go to greatmentoring.com, and I do the Great Mentors teleseminars. So I figured, I know a lot of great coaches and great people, and I'm gonna help people to live a better life. So not only good news, but, success, good health, and tips from coaches. So I'm doing free teleseminars, and I'm going to work on selling the CDs on the back end, eventually get a set of 6 CDs from these teleseminars and sell those.
But I'm assuming that your site, at least in the near future, is going to remain a free site. It's not going to be a subscription content.
Well, I think I actually might charge for the site a small amount of fee per month. I might experiment with that because of the server. I didn't believe how much more server space you need when you just have,
well, when you start adding video,
50,000 people coming, in a month. I serve almost 500,000 pages a month.
Jeez.
And that's I didn't know how expensive it was going to be. I had to upgrade my servers in December. And so now it costs more. So I might experiment. And really, a lot of people said I shouldn't do it, but I might just go see how it works.
Okay.
Something like $7 a month or something.
And one thing... I'm kind of curious, over all of, let's say, last year, since we are at the beginning of the new year, aside from old Stumpy Nick, who's already my favorite story of the day, were there any one or two of your very, very favorite news stories of last year?
Well, I was surprised by the story of an oil company doing a really great thing, and that is a company called Murphy Oil.
Uh-huh.
Corporation. They give provide all the gasoline for Sam's Club and stuff down south.
Huh.
They decided that they would pay college tuition for every high schooler in their hometown of El Dorado, Arkansas, for 20 years. And 4 years of college tuition pay for every high schooler that comes out of that high school. And they announced it to a packed auditorium in the high school, and it was just such a great story. And since then, the Today Show has done actually another, they did an update a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there's a family, they got a family that moved there because of this. They have four kids, and they said we wouldn't be able to afford college, so they moved to El Dorado, Arkansas.
Are there any other industries or businesses in El Dorado? Or
well,
was
that
it a
was one of the
town?
Purposes, is to make it a place where people come instead of a place where people leave from.
Interesting. Okay. How about one more?
Well, this is, I really liked a shark story I heard. In November, there was a guy swimming off, a surfer, off California coast, and he was being attacked by a great white shark.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly, a pod of dolphins came to his rescue and escorted him to shore.
Now, that is cool.
I love that.
That is so wicked cool.
Oh, man. You know, I bet your readers would like this. I have the top 10 pet stories of the year.
Ooh, okay.
And those, the shark didn't even make it because that, you know, the dolphins weren't pets. But those are really cool, the top 10 pet stories. I mean, there was a golden retriever that gave his owner the Heimlich maneuver and saved her. The little piece of food came popping out of her mouth as he jumped on her chest.
As long as he wasn't giving her the Heimlich maneuver in a very bad way. All right, yeah. I don't know what that means.
The cat who saved the family from poisonous fumes.
Oh.
They couldn't smell it, but the cat could, and she wouldn't stop until they got out of the house.
Yeah, you hear those every once in a while. You do hear those stories on the news now and then. I mean, you know, they don't disregard cute pet stories like that.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have them all in one place. Like,
that's why I like the Good News Network, is because there's not a terrific shortage of good news. If you add up all the good news that's done around the country in a week, but it's hard to find, and you have to wade through. You know, what I wanted to provide is an uplift, literally a dose, an injection of uplift when you're needing it, and so you can go there and people who come for the first time could be on it for days. Because there are so many stories that are so interesting, and they never go out of style. If you're all upset about global warming, you should see the amount of things being done this past year to help in that fight.
Huh.
That would be the Earth section of the website. You go there and just, you know, ease your fears.
No, I do have one question for you. It's an awful question, and I'm not even sure I'm going to ask it, but I have to sort of keep coming back to it. As you said, you started the site in 97, and then you took the break for the 2000 election campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But in the week or so of September 11th, could you even put up just goods? I mean, what did you do?
Oh, that's a good question, Dave. You know, it's interesting. I was driving with my son, and I said, of course, I didn't have the daily site up, so it was hard to put stuff up anyway. But I was in the car, and I said to my son, you know, I was like a lot of artists, like musicians and stuff. There's no sense in what I'm doing. It means nothing. Why am I doing this? Good news, you know. Oh, when the world is so troubled. And Jack said that, you know, Mom, they need you more than ever now. And when I checked the stats of my website, there was such a spike on that day. On 9/11 and 9/12, I had the most visitors I had ever had. So, you know, I guess that it really is needed in the worst of times. But there's a special website, a newsletter that I invite everybody to come and download that's free on the site. At the bottom of the site, you'll see links and resources.
Uh-huh.
And I give away my September 11th commemorative newsletter. And you can see all the stories that I put out after that happened. There's so many good news stories that come out of tragedy, out of crisis.
Well, people who survived, you know, yeah.
That's when the heroes emerge. And it's so heartwarming to read the stories of people around the country and what they did.
Mm, okay. I see where you're going. I got it. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
As I said, I think it's a really neat idea, and as I'm also thrilled that, again, it's not tied to religious or Democrat, Republican. It's although I guess you do have somewhat liberal tendencies. I would have to imagine those are sort of there. But it's divorced on a certain level from politics and all that kind of stuff. It's just about making people a little bit happy with positive things that they can read about that are true things that are going on. And as you said, they just give us a little lift.
Yeah, I mean, really, Christians would feel as comfortable as anyone there, or Republicans, although I did put an op-ed piece up the day of before the caucuses. This is the only time I've written about politics since the Dean campaign. So I did talk about the hope. I said I dare. It's called daring to hope because I really dared not to hope that that.
Oh, hope. So you're an. I assume you're an Obama.
Yes, I am.
Got it.
But I, like you said, I stayed away. I didn't even look at a debate this year. I didn't even look at a speech or hear a speech. And that day, I was driving somewhere, and I heard Obama start to speak on his channel, and I stopped and I listened, and that's what made me write the story.
Well, cool.
It was very hopeful.
Well, it's the prerogative. It's your website, and you're the
editor. It's an op-ed. Everybody does op-ed.
Yeah. And anyway, it's been a lift for us to be able to talk to Jerry Weiss-Corbly. Again, she's the founder and the editor of GoodNewsNetwork.org. Jerry, great having you in the neighborhood.
And Dave, if your listeners want an uplift sent to their email and to their inbox every week, we have a free newsletter, the Top 10 Good News of the Week.
All they have
to do
is...
The latest edition just went out tonight.
So they just have to go to the website and opt in for that.
Yeah, just a little to subscribe. It's there. There's you don't have to log in as a user or anything. There's a subscribe to the newsletter, and it's a free. It comes out the Top 10 Good News of the Week.
Well...
I know they'd enjoy that.
Well, it's been great news talking to you.
Well, good, Dave. I hope that keeps you warm for a few days at least.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, Dave. Take care.
Hi, this is playwright Michael Weller. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB. Nice to talk to you today.
Wake up the global story! Kenny takes UPI money to tell everybody!
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, January 6th, 2008. It is time for the News Gone By, a look at local and world events from a good newsy perspective. And we begin with politics and the Iowa caucuses proving the power of grassroots charisma. Barack Obama vaulted over Hillary Clinton and John Edwards as the candidates to beat on the Democratic side for the 2008 presidential elections.
And did you hear the latest poll?
Tell me.
Barack is really shooting ahead in New Hampshire, too.
Wow. Well, for now, we'll see. He's the candidate supposedly of change and youth, and we'll see. But it's early. And all Obama has to do is win 51 other states, carry a handful of nationally televised debates.
51?
How many states are there?
50.
Oh, okay, 49. I wrote this when I was tired. And he has to make no mistakes in the next 40 weeks and maybe survive an assassination attempt or two, and he will be the man. Seriously.
Who has to beat the other man?
Obama's win is a wake-up call to Clinton, who has yet to demonstrate how being the boss's wife is the same as being the boss, or to atone for spending her entire term as senator from New York running for president instead of, well, being the senator from New York. Meanwhile, John Edwards had better start trotting out his wife again for the sympathy vote. The only way people will forget about his $400 haircut is if he can show how all Americans qualify for Elizabeth's $4 million chemo. On the Republican side, in a race between Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee, Iowans were apparently scared off by a politician who subscribed to a strange, illogical, superstitious religion. But they voted for him anyway. Mitt's money and Mormonism were no match for Mike's messianic myth-making. Of course, the Republican turnout was made up of 60% evangelical Christians, which explains why the last two elections went to a born-again piece of work like GWB, which also explains why any other state but Iowa should be the first caucus. What about North Carolina or Montana or North Dakota?
How about Florida?
Well, Florida, fine, but North Dakota, they got nothing to do all winter. This would give them something to think about besides defrosting their windshields. But no, we're stuck with the Iowa Jesus freaks who have a nasty habit of voting for other Jesus freaks. and perhaps wisely, Rudolph Giuliani sat out the Iowa caucuses and is hoping to make his mark in Florida, where the Jews are. Now, if he could just get Osama bin Laden to make one more sword-rattling video, he'd be all set. Meanwhile, John McCain has to be hoping Iraq remains a bit more stable, since he's the candidate on record saying the war wasn't a bad idea 5 years after it was obviously a bad idea. Now, New Hampshire could be a big win for McCain, since he beat George Bush there back in 2000. And, well, we all know how well that turned out for him. So stay tuned, folks. It's going to be... excuse me.
It is?
Yeah, it's going to be a long year, especially if I die in the middle of this broadcast. But I guarantee to predict a winner of this presidential contest on this program no later than November 5th. That is, unless the Supreme Court has other ideas. On Long Island, the big news was the release of Marty Tankliff, imprisoned 17 years ago for killing his parents. After years of tilting at windmills, his attorneys apparently proved not that Tankliff was innocent, but that police and prosecutors disregarded, blocked, and tainted evidence that could have helped his defense. Remember, Tankliff confessed to the crimes. He may have been coerced, but there's no videotape to show one way or the other. And rather than suffer the embarrassment of retrying the case all over again, the Suffolk DA is dropping all charges, leaving Tankliff a free man. The only one not happy to let all this go away is Tankliff's half-sister, who strongly believes in his guilt and said she was appalled by the DA's decision.
You know why that is.
Why is that?
Because she got the entire inheritance.
Right. And now he may contest it. He may get
right.
It. And you know what else is appalling? The idea that whoever killed Seymour and Arlene Tankliff is still out there. Although, I personally believe he was running back for the Buffalo Bills. Okay. OJ choke there. All right. In celebrity news... Long Island Lolita Amy Fisher is back! Back with her husband, and they're ironing out their differences. Those include Amy acknowledging and even promoting the sex tape he marketed while they were Splitsville. Last year, Amy had gone back to dating Joey Buttafuoco, so, for revenge, her hubby peddled a naughty video they had made, and he sold it for big bucks. First, Amy tried to block it. Now that they're back together, she's hoping to profit by it. I have not seen the video, but from what I've heard, in it, Amy Fisher showed a striking similarity to, of all people, Mary Jo Buttafuoco. After all, they both had big holes to fill, and they both took a shot in the face.
Oh.
Of murderous impulses, Illinois pawnbroker Christopher Hemminghouse admitted last week that he offered an employee $600 to strangle his girlfriend, dismember her body, and bring back her severed hand as proof of her death. Officials caught on before anyone was harmed, and they said they were horrified that Hemminghouse would pay someone $600 to commit such a grisly murder and not take out federal, state, and Social Security taxes first. Okay, if you think that's sick, not funny, but sick, Jeremiah McGee. Jeff is giving me a look here. Age 25 of Fayette Council, Pennsylvania, claims he raped a 5-year-old girl by accident. The little girl was in his care and apparently sleeping in his bed, and he was asleep too, he says, when the girl's screaming woke him up. McGee said if he did assault her, must have been while he was asleep and dreaming. You get the feeling just before lights out, every prison guard is going to tell him, sweet dreams. But let me get this straight. Dreams are to blame for raping a 5-year-old girl. A GPS system is to blame for a guy driving in front of a train. Nobody's to blame for killing the tank lifts. And yet, aha, at last, someone is responsible for something. According to Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf...
Oh, my God, this is so awful.
Benazir Bhutto is responsible for her own death. Bhutto, of course, was possibly shot and definitely blown up in a suicide attack 2 weeks ago. She knew she'd be a target, but continued to make public appearances. So Musharraf said on 60 Minutes that although he provided as much security as he could, quote, for standing up outside the car, I think she was to blame alone.
I know that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And they didn't like him before he said this.
He says, nobody else. Responsibility is hers. That's a quote. So I guess we should blame the Central Park jogger for carelessness. I mean, how dare she assume New York City would be safe after dark? Or blame all those fools who went to work on Wall Street on September 11th? I mean, did they really have to be on all those higher floors? That's just tempting fate. And all those people in New Orleans, if they had just splurged on cars, insurance, and gas, they could have driven the hell out of there before the levees broke, right? And is it George Bush's fault that we trust a corrupt, incompetent schmuck like Pervez Musharraf to handle a powder keg like Pakistan? Well, yes. Yes, it actually is.
Although he did get elected.
But enough doom and gloom. Here is a happy story. On December 7th...
I'm glad we were doing all happy news today.
Well, this gets happier. Alcides Moreno and his brother Edgar were working as window washers on a high-rise on East 66th Street. The cable snapped, and both Morenos fell 47 stories to the ground. Edgar died, but Alcides lived, and after 14 operations, with more to come, doctors are saying he might even walk again. His wife said, quote, I'm in awe and grateful. His doctor said, quote, we are very pleased and, dare I say, astonished at the level of recovery. His employer said, you know, you missed a spot. You know, you missed a spot. Okay.
So did you.
Six visitors to an amusement park in Beijing had to be hospitalized on New Year's Day when the roller coaster they were on came to a stop upside down. For half an hour, the car stalled at the top of a loop, leaving the occupants with their feet pointing to the air. All the Chinese passengers were fine after being treated for nausea and dizziness, although an hour later, they felt like vomiting again. Hey, you need... Jeff hates the news gone by, I tell you. You need a job, everybody? Come to India, where the government is now paying the unemployed to go around the country and sterilize wild monkeys with lasers. This is fabulous. This is from Sky News, and I'm reading it verbatim. Tens of thousands of aggressive primates have been causing chaos across the country. The deputy mayor of New Delhi was killed when he fell from his balcony during an attack by wild monkeys. I'm sorry. And 25 other people...
Now that's funny.
It is funny. Think about the scene. 25 other people were wounded.
You go to school. How'd your father die? Well, he was attacked by wild monkeys.
Come on, kids are going to go like... 25 people were wounded when a monkey went on a rampage in the city. And now officials in Himachal Pradesh, which is infested with rhesus macaques, are taking drastic action. The chief minister said they would identify districts in trouble and, quote, local youth would be trained by experts to capture and laser sterilize the monkeys. Not mincing words, a local ecologist told Sky News, quote, this is totally insane. It requires a huge amount of expertise to wield those machines. It's a ridiculous idea that does nothing to contain the problem and probably makes it worse. Can you imagine what having badly sterilized monkeys running around will do to their levels of aggression? Unquote. Oh, I don't know. That's so hysterical. It's a serious problem, though, and one that they've been unable to fight with traditional methods. And since it is a monkey crisis, is it any wonder they've turned to guerrilla warfare? Yes! 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 The first comedy battle of 2008. Since the show first began 5 years ago, we have been ringing the comedy bell to signal the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a play on words so bad we have to laser it off with the sound of the comedy bell. And that bell is also a reminder that there's no better place to advertise your product, event, or service than this show. Over the years, we've developed a listenership and a fan base, and not just among the institutionalized. Thousands of normal people just like you, better than you, listen to Dave's Gone By every week, and you're the crazy one if you don't use that opportunity to sell your stuff. Advertise your travel agency, your restaurant, your car dealership, your cleaning service. Dave's Gone By brings your message to my listenership. We have 30 and 60 second ads, or you can even sponsor an entire episode. All at really inexpensive and worthwhile prices.
So for a buck and a half, this tool can be yours.
Yeah, right. Visit davesgoneby.org to see the actual prices, the rate card, as well as the long history of this program, davesgoneby.org. And then send my office an email, davesgoneby@aol.com. Or give us a call at 516-295-1511 during business hours. 516-295-1511.
Can they just send cash in the mail?
In a book. Put it in the pages of a book and tell me what page it's at. So we can do that, too.
Well, if you wanted to read a book, tell them there's money in it.
Right. Next week, right now, I could be saying your name on the air, or Jeff could be saying it, and telling everyone how great your business is and why they should shop in your store, use your service, or patronize your website. 516-295-1511 is the phone number. davesgoneby@aol.com is the website. Your satisfaction is the goal. And that's why I ring the comedy bell. Don't be good, be punderful.
By the way, Dave.
Yes?
Did you know that three more Broadway shows close this week?
What are they? Because we're not doing Inside Broadway, but what were they?
I know, but I you know, well, last week we lost a Drowsy Chaperone.
Uh-huh.
We lost, I forgot what else we lost last week. This week we lost Cyrano.
Right.
And Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Well, these were all supposed to close at this point.
But you know what the big... To me, it was a huge surprise.
What? Les Mis?
Les Mis, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, no, that was... They announced the closing of that half a year ago.
Oh, oops.
Oops. But yes, all closed this week. In the news gone by, although there's other Broadway stuff opening soon. Let me do one or two more stories, because we actually have to wrap up pretty soon.
And then we have a very interesting story.
Oh, yes, the obit. Let me do one more story, and then you can do the obit.
I'll bring it into you, and then you can read what you want from the obit.
Cool.
You seem to like it a lot.
In sports news of a sort, congratulations to Stan Friedman, a Manhattan librarian who won the 2008 ESPN Zone Ultimate Couch Potato Competition last week. How did he do it? By sitting on a couch watching sports for 29 consecutive hours. The event was held at the ESPN Zone restaurant in Times Square, and the contestants could order as much food or drink as they wanted, but they couldn't sleep, and they were allowed only one toilet break every 8 hours. According to the Associated Press, Friedman became champion when runner-up Nate Lopez ran to the bathroom before his allotted break time. Friedman's winnings include a big-screen TV, a recliner, and a trophy with a potato on it. And librarians have a reputation for being dull. So, someone you certainly can't accuse of being dull, Britney Spears began her 2008 the same way she ended 2007, with two hands on the bottle and no hands on her kids.
Dave?
What?
Leave Britney alone!
Oh.
Just leave Britney alone!
She's not leaving anybody else alone.
Yes, she is!
On Friday, the former teen queen was home arguing with her ex-husband's custody reps while she went into...
Known as bodyguards, by the way.
Yeah, right. She went into a fit. An ambulance came and took her away on a gurney, though she was released from the hospital the next day, obviously cured. News reports say her main visitor at the hospital was Dr. Phil. Is this guy slimy or what? He used to be...
No, I feel bad. I'm telling you, I really feel bad for Brittany.
Oh, for her, yeah. But Dr. Phil used to be the sensible advice guy. Couples would come on TV with real marriage problems,
but I think she
trying to help them.
I think he's trying to help her because I feel bad. I mean, I really...
He's like Jerry Springer for people who can afford to live outside Appalachia now. It's like, back in October, Dr. Phil predicted on his show that Britney Spears was heading for a breakdown and should be involuntarily committed because she's a suicide risk. Why do I get the feeling that he would be happy to foot Britney's bill for a month in a private spa, world-class doctors, no outside contact except Dr. Phil, his crew, and discreet cameras in every room so there'd be enough footage for a reality show?
Leave Britney alone! Yeah.
Anyway, in goofy news... Finally, in goofy news, I wanted to say 20-year-old Jeff Merrill of Seattle was stopped by police for speeding.
Don't you hit that thing.
Like that. Oh, now, Jeff brought me a news story to read, but his screen went blank here, so I'm just going to finish off. I am doing the pad. It's blank. Jeff Merrill of Seattle was stopped for speeding. He ran off and tried to evade straight troopers by burrowing into the ground and covering himself with dirt and leaves. He hid for about an hour, but police were there waiting when he scrambled out of his hole, only to be booked for drunk driving and pot possession. According to police reports, he did not see his shadow, so he will be getting 6 more weeks of idiot. And finally, in the news gone by tonight, I want to do an obituary for Hugh Massingbird. Jeff found this. He was a 60-year-old laureate for the departed. The irony was he made his living doing funky obituaries in England. He wrote for the Daily Telegraph and says here that he made a once dreary page required reading by speaking frankly, wittily, and often gleefully ill of the dead. He died on Christmas Day of cancer. And
hilarious, isn't it?
Well, he was described now in this obituary as invariably strapped for cash. He had gourmandism, which meant he liked to eat, and was impressively corpulent with a moon face that lit up with Pickwickian benevolence. But some of the other things that...
He also had his own dictionary as far as what it's on page 2.
Well, yeah, that's kind of... we don't really have time for that. But in The Spectator, the British magazine, they described him as an English eccentric of the sort Hollywood imagines shoot snipe in their underpants. He did not actually do that, but he did once pose for a photograph dressed as a Roman emperor garlanded with sausages. I think that's the way I want to be remembered, as an emperor garlanded in sausages. And that's the news gone by for Sunday, January 6th, 2008. Please send your comments, opinions, and sausage garlands to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. And if you're too cheap or lazy to send a letter, send an email letter to davesgoneby@aol.com. davesgoneby@aol.com. We're always happy to get your postcards, emails, letters.
If they're too cheap to do that, just give them a call.
Find my phone number on the website. It's there somewhere. And if you want to send me a large crate of jewelry, that's okay, too. But
and
please,
cash in those books is okay.
Definitely cash in the books. But no couch potatoes. My brain's already fried.
How about some sausage for the garlands?
Definitely sausage. And we'll be back to have some delicious, yummy sausage right after this.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words, but let me say a good word on plays, my plays, collected in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies that range from strange to deranged, from sad to satirical, fun to read, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft, put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. Shalom, damn it! This is Rabbi Sal Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. and I personally invite you to watch my new TV show, Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Sal Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 20. If you've never seen a Jew before, this is your chance. Shalom Dammit, 7:30 a.m. Wednesdays, Channel 20, or anytime on YouTube. You have my blessing.
Hello, this is Patrick Kalina, Vice President of Horticulture at Brooklyn Botanic Garden, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Yes, final moments of Dave's Gone By on this Sunday, January 6th. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much to our wonderful sponsors. Jeff, you want to do them up?
No, I'm still mad.
You're still mad. 10% off for all Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman Press on Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island.
I'm not mad at them.
So, where are they?
They're next to Loman Shoes.
They certainly are. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway.
I'm a little mad at them.
And there's a new discount thing this year. It's 2008, new special. Go to the website, performingartsinsider.com, and Dave's Gone By listeners get a full year, 12 issues. This is only the month.
For $2,008?
Nope, $120. Just $10 an issue.
Wow.
Save a lot of money there. MortgagesRock.com, because they do rock. Go to MortgagesRock.com for all your mortgage and financing needs. And Fancy Schmancy Balloons, what's the phone number?
I don't know. I'm really mad at them.
Oh, well then. We won't give them any play at all, even though they do wonderful parties and great decorating and centerpieces and stuff like that. I'll give you the number, 797-3229, area code 516. And everybody watch Shalom Dammit Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Channel 20 of Woodbury Cable.
How about Dave's Gone By Live?
That's on Friday mornings at 7:30. We haven't put up a new show there in a while because I've just been so busy, but we will. We will, coming soon. On that as well. Want to thank so much to Jerry Weiss Corbley. Go to goodnewsnetwork.org for good news. Well, yeah. And don't forget, you can listen to 25 vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By anytime at all by going to davesgoneby.org, and there's a link there that takes you to there. In the coming weeks, got an amazing guest, as promised, even though she couldn't do it a couple of weeks ago. We have Issa, formerly known as Jane Sibbery. She will be on the show. We're going to play her music.
Very long-winded.
Amazing covers. Half of the talking was me. I conducted the interview early in the evening. So
we didn't get to do our little big
half-hour
show.
But it's an amazing conversation.
They will pay for that later.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Jeff's going to dump me out somewhere on the Long Island Expressway and make me walk home. But anyway, we will be back next Sunday, January 13th, with the 255th episode of Dave's Gone By.
A very lucky episode.
Why is that? 255?
January 13th.
How is that
13th.
Lucky? 13 is a lucky number, and what?
Jewish people
oh,
like the 13th.
Okay. January 13th is lucky for me, because I'll be here, hopefully.
And it's lucky for them, because they'll get to listen to you.
And until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman. A little mad. But nevertheless, Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, good news,
and gone by.
Oh, my baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I got a letter just the other day telling me that she was on her way and she wanted me to meet her at the station. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? In the letter, she told me she still loves me. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? In the letter, she told me she loved me. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? Said she's sorry that she left. Found out she don't want nobody else. Said she wants me all to herself. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news? Ain't that good news? Man, I know that's good news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? I'm gonna have her
a party at the station. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Have a party at the station. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news? Ain't that good news? Man, 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 ain't that news? My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news.